slave traffic here in Flaxborough? I hardly think that can be the case, Miss Ryland.
Well, what else could it mean, Inspector?
Well, I don't know, but...
There you are, then. The moment I opened it, I knew there could be but one interpretation. I know about these things. Living alone, you see, I read a great deal.
Yes, I'm sure you do. But you see, Miss Ryland, we must tread carefully in this. In the first place, the telegram wasn't actually addressed to you, was it?
Well, no, but...
And you're not even a permanent employee of the Floradora Country Club.
I should think not, indeed. I might say that when the agency asked me to go there, on a purely temporary holiday relief basis, you understand, I did so with great trepidation. I mean, we've all heard things, have we not?
It really doesn't do to listen to idle gossip, though, Miss Ryland.
Not idle gossip, Inspector Pearbright. I could tell you tales.
I'm sure you could, but back to this telegram. What time did it arrive?
A little after 5 o'clock. At that time, of course, I was there alone. Both Mr. Hatch and his private secretary take every afternoon off. I suppose they need to prepare for the goings-on of the evening and, later.
But why did you open it? I mean, it was addressed to Mr. Hatch.
Well, a telegram is a telegram. An unopened telegram is pregnant with who knows what tidings.
So you performed a caesarean?
It might have been urgent.
Telegrams usually are.
Exactly. And coming from America, too.
Well, let's look at it again. This is an accurate transcript, is it?
I copied every word most carefully, Inspector. I know my duty. I've read...
Books, yes. Let's see now. To Floradora, Flaxborough, England. Stop. Two naked nuns available, Philadelphia. Stop. Perth, 1915. Stop. 8 days, option. Stop. $3,005. Stop. Instruct London soonest. Stop. Informed 4 nuns on offer. Dallas. Stop. Will investigate. And it's signed Pace.
There we are, then.
Well, I really don't see that we're anywhere. Now, you say you gave the telegram to Mr. Hatch's secretary when she came in.
He, Inspector, he. Mr. Hatch's private secretary is a man. Now, even that is peculiar, surely.
Oh, this is 1974, after all, Miss Ryland. I'd have thought, what with equal opportunities and so forth, who knows? We may even have a lady prime minister one of these days.
There is no need to be flippant, Inspector.
However, you still gave it to Mr. Hatch's secretary, regardless of gender.
I did, Mr. Amis. I explained that I'd opened it in case it was something serious.
Was he annoyed at that?
Oh, not at all. He said he was sure that Mr. Hatch would know what it was about, and he took it off with him. But of course its meaning is clear.
Is it?
Yes. They dress up, you know.
Who do?
The girls. In these bordellos. Nuns are very popular.
Good heavens.
Oh, yes. Have you read Fleshly Cargo by Anthea Sims?
No, I seem to have missed that.
The meaning of the telegram is perfectly clear to me. 2 young nuns have been recruited. 1 19 and 1 only 15. Kidnapped, more likely than not. Drugged, you know. And they are to be brought here to the so-called Floradora Country Club for... Well, need I say more?
But I always thought that such fleshly cargoes tended to travel in the opposite direction. I mean, were procured in Europe and shipped off to the Barbary Coast or Buenos Aires or the Inscrutable Orient. I never thought that such entertainment was imported and into Flaxborough, of all places. I know that there are a few ladies here, down by the harbour, who, well, cater, shall we say. But, and in any case, how could they have been recognised?
Recognised?
The nuns, if they were naked. How would anybody know they were nuns without their habits? And what were they doing running about in Philadelphia, of all places, with no clothes on? And then there are these other 4 in Dallas. It doesn't specify nakedness in their case, of course.
You're making fun of me, Inspector.
Well, not at all, Miss Ryland. I promise you that this information will be borne in mind.
You make inquiries?
I shall do everything appropriate. But I really don't think... Well, white slavers here in Flaxborough. Whatever next?
Flaxborough. Hey, say, Captain, what do you make of this?
What you've got there, Joe?
Well, maybe it's just another nutty letter. Maybe it's not. You've been in England, ain't you?
Yeah. Went over there on bodyguard duty for that diplomat guy. Great time.
Okay, so, you ever hear of a place called Flaxborough? Or Borrow? It could be Flaxborough, England.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I did. I stayed there once.
Big place?
Oh, no. We got bigger used car lots in the Bronx. A cute little town with the oldest jumble of house tops you ever saw and hardly a building over two floors high. And a church and a pub every 10 yards.
Yeah, well...
And girls like fresh flowers in flimsy summer frocks. You know. And very slow-moving old men who looked like they'd have to be hit by lightning before they die. They were nice people.
So why?
Really nice people. The ambassador went there to unveil a memorial of what had been a U.S. Air Force base outside the town. We stayed with the Lord Mayor. Or just the mayor, I guess he was.
But can you think of any...
Self-important little jerk. Made me think of J. Edgar Hoover. Hatch. Yeah. That was his name. Mayor and Mrs. Hatch. He was crazy about gadgets, I remember. Kept showing me his electric garage doors. But it's a really nice place. Really nice people.
I wonder what's so special about them that we suddenly start exporting contract killers there.
What's that?
Could be just another nut. What nut would ever have heard of Flaxborough? Or even England, if it comes to that. I guess it's genuine, and if it is, it's a warning that one of our local hoods is on his way over there now to rub out one of those really nice people in this Flaxborough.
It usually happens just about now. Last night it was exactly at 7:45. Exactly.
3 minutes after that now.
Oh, dear. Perhaps it's gone wrong.
What exactly is supposed to happen, Mrs. Hatch? I'm afraid I missed that bit of the conversation. I couldn't understand why we've all brought our drinks into your bedroom. Oh, dear. Nothing improper, I hope.
No. It's the curtains.
The curtains? Oh, the window curtains, you mean?
Yes, the curtains. They close.
Well, so I should hope.
No, you see, they close on their own, without being told. Close when it goes dark and open when it's light.
It could have gone wrong. These things often do.
Oh, no, I don't think so. It's got a magic eye, it's called, you see. That's electronics. They don't go wrong, not these days. Not good ones. And this one was very expensive.
Magic eye, for God's sake.
Vera.
Have some more white ladies.
White ladies, I ask you.
Steady, Vera.
Do you happen to know if Councillor Crispin and his, housekeeper are coming along? I did let them have an invite. That's to say my husband's personal private secretary did.
I really couldn't say. I haven't actually seen Councillor Crispin since this morning's sitting of the Highways Committee.
Never mind. It's probably her boils again. Oh, dear. 7:50.
Oh, but this is such fun.
I must say, Mrs. Hatch, I'm quite fascinated by your bedroom. So original.
Oh, we like it. That's one of these new water beds, you know. That's why it wobbles.
Like a standard jellyfish.
Vera.
Of course, we had to have girders put in for the weight. And the plumbing, of course. And the carpet's café au lait, you know. And the walls are real mother-of-pearl vinyl.
Really?
Totally washable. We like things to be nice.
Shh! What?
It's trying. I think it nearly did it then.
False alarm.
Constipation.
Oh, I thought I heard it starting. Oh, goodness. That'll be Councillor Crispin. He's here now. Would you show Councillor Crispin up here, Edmund? You, met Edmund, didn't you? He's my husband's private secretary. Been to university, you know.
He told us.
And I'm not sure if you've all been introduced to Miss Tea Time. What with all the excitement.
I'm afraid I arrived a little late. Pressure of work. You know how it is when one is in business on one's own.
Oh, I've met Miss Tea Time. You run charities, do you not, Miss Tea Time?
I try to help where I can, to bring a little business sense and method into the care of the afflicted.
And she's also an ancestral researcher. She digs up people's ancestors.
Not literally, I hope.
She's finding out about Mr. Hatch's family tree. There have been Hatches in Flaxborough for centuries, you know.
Coal Hatches, serving Hatches, down the Hatches.
Vera.
Up here, Harry.
Come on, before you miss it.
Anybody would think she had the Queen coming for cocoa.
Hello, hello. And what are you all doing up here in the bedroom? Have I missed the orgy, or have you waited for me?
We've been waiting for it to get dark.
Oh, so, I haven't missed it. Good. Who's with me, then? Is it car keys in the middle and Lucky Dip, or do we just take our pick?
Your housekeeper. I mean, your good lady. Not with you tonight, Councillor Crispin?
I'm afraid not. I don't know if you all know yet, but I'm to be Commodore of the Yacht Club this season, and Mrs. Spain has gallantly stayed at home to sew the gold braid on my blazer and cap. I only just dashed in myself. Lot to it, you know. Lot of admin, being Commodore of the Yacht Club. Did I tell you I was to be Commodore of the Yacht Club, Scope?
I believe you did, Councillor.
I think you've told everybody in the Eastern Counties several times.
Oh, anyway, where's Arnie? Still slaving away at the Floridora. Dishwasher not turned up.
He's in Doncaster, if you must know. Mr. McConaughey was running today in some big race or another. I forget the names.
It should be easy enough to remember the ones that nag of Arnie's has won.
Councillor Crispin, of course, knows all there is to know about horses. So long as they're either going round in his fairground or on plates in his Neptune steak bar.
Steady.
Aye, that poor bloody horse. What is it you call it again, Sophie? What's its name? Anyway, it used to belong to Joe O'Connell on the bookie. That's right, isn't it, Sophie? Yeah, but here, wait a minute. Do you know why Joe got rid of it? I'll tell you. The poor bloody brute was costing him 30 bob a week in aspirin. Oh. That's why. Crippled with arthritis, poor beast. Used to shovel aspirin down its throat through a funnel. Racehorse. Couldn't race itself to Knacker's Yard.
If Councillor Crispin has quite finished, perhaps you'd care for some more refreshment. Edmund, could you fetch us some more white ladies, please? I'm sorry our little piece de resistance has decided to be awkward, though.
Oh, piece de resistance.
Did you call, Mrs. Hatch? I was on the phone. Mr. Hatch called through on the car phone.
Ah, Edmund, I don't know what he'd do without that. My husband has to have a phone in the car these days, you know, Mr. Scorp. He's doing so well.
Most impressive.
I don't know if you've met everybody, Edmund. This is Mr. Amos, my husband's private secretary, you know.
Good evening.
He was at the university, you know.
Private secretary, God help us.
Did you say something, Vera?
Who, me?
It looks as if we've exhausted our white ladies, Edmund.
I didn't say anything.
Would you mind seeing if there's another bottle? It will either be in Mr. Hatch's study or in the kitchen by the bread, then.
Very well, Mrs. Hatch.
Oh, and Edmund.
Yes, Mrs. Hatch.
I'm not sure, but I think that the you-know-what has gone wrong.
Oh, no. Oh, I am sorry.
Ah! That's it. It's starting. There now.
Lovely. Was that it?
Bloody hell.
Some people might think it's ostentatious, Councillor Crispin, but we feel we've earned it. We do like everything to be nice, and Mr. Hatch is doing so well, you know.
Oh, I've done well, and I don't care who knows it. And that's why I can afford to be here today at Doncaster, watching my own horse compete against the best there is.
Oh, had a winner, did you?
Not today, no. The going, you know. Wrong for him. No, but as I was saying, I reckon I'm in business in a pretty big sort of way. Well, very big, in fact. And that's why I'm fetching in these time and motion blokes we were talking about. Mine's my personal private secretary is dead against it. Says I'm wasting my money. Well, he's a varsity man, you see, so he's a bit traditional. But might he be right? That's what I want to know.
Look, Mr.
Hatch.
Yeah, Mr. Hatch, old boy. I can see that I don't have to tell you that business-wise, being big is only the half of it. Everybody, expansion-wise, must either get bigger or fold up. To expand, you've got to have efficiency. You and I think we know what efficiency is, but we don't. We're too close in. I mean, I thought I knew all there was to know about biscuits. Thought I had biscuits sussed. Until they opened my eyes. Gambling is your line, did you say?
Gaming, yes. And all cuisine, building. Well, many other irons. I diversify a good deal.
You're bloody wise, old man. Bloody wise.
Here you are, gentlemen. Two large whiskies.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Put them on my bill, please. Room 27. Can you remember that, my dear? Room 27?
I'll remember that, sir.
Good girl.
Oh, look at that hatch, old man. What a walk, eh? Like two peaches in a hanky, eh? What were we talking about?
You were telling me about these time and motion blocks.
Management consultants, old boy, yes. Oh, brilliant. I used to think it was just a gimmick, but it's really marvellous what they can put a finger on profit-wise and efficiency-wise. They go right through the whole setup. Factories, sales department, social welfare personnel, top management and all. They don't spare the likes of us, old man. God, look at her now, bending over to wipe that table.
Yeah, but what did he do, specifically-wise, I mean?
Yes, they beaver on with their little calculators and work out how much percentage-wise the chocolate digestive production drops when the mixed manager's wife's expecting. You can smile, old man, but it all adds up. Viability-wise, it really does.
Well, that's just what I tell Mr. Ames. That's my private secretary. And you reckon this firm I've got coming, McIntosh and Brook, is it? You reckon they're okay?
Oh, well, no argument about that. McIntosh Brook, by a mile. It's the one. Mm. Well, they're American, you see. I mean, it was the Americans who developed it, after all, and they're the best.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm very familiar with America, of course. You see, my business frequently takes me stateside.
Drink up, old boy. I say, my dear.
Did you want something, sir?
I'll say, but people are watching.
Oh, sir.
Till later, you understand. It would give two lonely travellers great pleasure, dear young lady, if you would be so kind as to bring them twofold potations of the Highland spirit.
Two whiskies, is that?
Whatever you say, dear lady. Oh, look at that. I'd say I shall be all right there tonight.
Watch it.
How do you mean, old man?
You'll keep clear of that one if you know what's good for you.
Jealous?
Don't be daft. I know who she is, that's all. She and her boyfriend work the mugs for you,
friend. Mugs? What boyfriend?
He's one of the porters here. Now, he and Sal run a little arrangement between themselves. I know how it is when you're on the road, away from home, and you just want a nice young lady to tuck in with for the night. But you don't have to get robbed. Now, I can provide you with what you're after. And a choice, too.
You? You mean you're...
No, only informally. For a friend, occasionally. Now, I told you, I diversify. Gaming, high-class cuisine, a motel, well, those are my main lines these days. But, well, I still have a few other interests, which are complimentary, you might say. In any case, I'd like to carry on this conversation about time and motion further, and I can't tonight. I'm expected back. Now, tomorrow night, my good lady's away to stay with her sister.
Cats away, eh?
Right, something like that. So, look, you drive over to Flaxbury, it's not far, and present yourself at the Floradora Country Club.
What, and you'll...
Yeah, look, here's my card. Just show that to the maitre d', and I'll see that you're fixed up where there's proper arrangements. All nice and comfortable. Hey, and a young lady with a bit of tone. I wouldn't say no to a nice bit of something on the side myself, just this once. After all, we deserve a bit of class, don't we? Men in our station of life, eh?
I mean, who does he think he is? Coming the big I am all over the shop. With automatic curtains and inviting folk round to see it like it were unveiling a flaming war memorial or something.
Oh, God, Harry. I was asleep. What are you doing waking me up?
That flipping Arnie Hatch. He's never been same since he got mayor. And then giving up the council like that as if he got nothing more to achieve. And here's me.
Oh, you'll not be satisfied till you've woke me. You're commodore of the yacht club, aren't you? You'll get your turn as mayor.
I'll get that bugger afore then, though. Automatic curtains that open up when the sun shines. Waterbed, musical dressing table. I tell you, it's like a flipping knocking shop.
Well, he'd know all about such places, of course. I say, what if the curtains opened when... Well, when you didn't want them to?
Just what I thought. I mean, if we had curtains like that, our neighbours would be getting a regular feast of entertainment, sunset and sunrise.
Get off.
Bugger me, though. Oh, you should have seen old Vera.
Vera?
Vera Scope, the solicitor's wife. She looked like a lady deacon at a farting contest. God, if looks good, kill. Come here.
Oh, no, it's too late. Turn the lights off.
It's never too late.
Honestly. What time is it, anyway?
About 2 o'clock.
And where have you been till 2 o'clock in the morning? There's no council business at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I had to go round the state bars and cash up. And I had to take taxis. I hadn't got the car.
Oh, yes, what is all this about the car?
That chap from the garage rang just after midnight. Don't know what time he thinks folks sleep in this house.
Town councillors are always on call for their voters.
Titch Blossom, is it? He said it was about the Merck. Said he'd had a look at it and he'd have it done by morning. But it'll cost you.
Money well spent. Money well spent.
You cheered up quick enough. You were spitting razor blades when you woke me.
It's the sight of you bursting out of that nightingale. That and the fact that I shan't have to put up with Arnie Hatch for much longer.
How do you work that out?
Never you mind.
What's the matter with the Merck? To do with the lights, he said.
That's right. You'll have it done by morning, then.
10 o'clock.
Right, I'll use the jag first thing.
What's he going to do with the lights? They're all right, aren't they?
I want a bit more bash. I'm just having some extra quartz iodines fitted.
What are they when they're at home?
Headlights, me old darling. Just headlights. But extra special ones. Like yours. Come here.
Oh, better off. No. Harry, stop it. Well, draw the curtains then. One of these days, Harry Crispin, you'll do something like this when people are looking, and then you'll be in trouble. Oh, no!
Naked nuns? Flipping heck.
The thought sets your mind racing, does it, Sid?
Well, I mean, you do hear of such things, but coming to Flax? In any case, if they were naked...
How would you know they were nuns?
Aye.
My point exactly, though Miss Ryland merely thought I was being facetious.
They could keep their egg, you know, I suppose.
I think we'd better change the subject.
Wimples, that's what they call them.
I think, from the lecherous flush on your usually innocent countenance...
Could just wear the wimples.
We'd better...
And nothing else.
...talk about something else.
What else? Nothing as exciting as naked nuns ever happens in Flaxborough. In fact, nothing exciting at all ever happens.
Inspector Pertwright! Major Pertwright! Get down, Hector! Deirdre!
Mr. Chubb, is something the matter?
I hope not, Mr. Pertwright. I really do hope not. Now, Hector, Deirdre, sit!
Good morning, Chief Constable.
Good morning, Sergeant.
Loaf, sir.
Sergeant Loaf, yes. Would you mind keeping an eye on Hector and Deirdre while I talk to Inspector Pertwright?
Oh, of course not, sir. Very fond of animals. Here, boy. Here you go. Ouch!
Don't be afraid of them, Sergeant. They're just affectionate.
I can see that, sir.
Now then, sir, would you like me to come along to your office?
No, no, we can talk here. The sergeant should hear this too, I suppose.
I'm listening, sir.
In any case, I'm on walker's duty at the moment. Only popped in to get my galoshes. Found this. Most distressing.
What is it, sir?
Quite extraordinary. Communication from the United States of America.
Good heavens.
Yes, and of a most upsetting nature, if we're to take it seriously.
You intrigue me, Chief Constable.
Well, perhaps I'd better fill in the background, as you may not be as familiar with international affairs as I, as Chief Constable, of course, have to be.
Of course, sir.
As I understand these matters, the Americans, who are nice enough people, by and large, have allowed themselves to be imposed on by a well-organized criminal element. The syndicate, I think that's the term they use.
I believe I have heard that term, sir.
It seems to be a very professional affair, in a nasty way, of course. And the consequence is that crime over there has become big business.
So I believe, sir.
Well, this so-called syndicate apparently employs assassins to further its interests. Oh, yes, I know it sounds rather like medieval Italy, but there you are. These things do go on. We have to take a realistic view. Anyway, the long and short of the matter is that our worthy opposite numbers in New York have warned me, officially, that just such an assassin has been ordered to come to England. To Flaxborough, in fact. They were quite specific.
And with what object, sir?
Well, presumably in order to attempt the murder of someone or other.
A local person?
Well, though I find it hard to believe that any of our native Flaxbrovians could possibly have been involved with foreign felons of this type, it does seem a distinct possibility. Our main concern, of course, must be to see that this would-be assassin is prevented from doing any damage to any of our ratepayers, or to anybody else, I suppose, whoever they are. Now, this is a telex copy of the letter which the New York police received yesterday.
Wow. From New York?
Do you like it better if you stand still, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
I put out a contract. Button man? Guy who is
going to get hit is a wheel. Mm. A little bird called Flaxborough, England. Put him on the spot. Enforcement. So they really do use expressions like these.
What we should term thieves' argot, I suppose.
Contract is pithy, sir. A lawyer's word, significant perhaps of the ever-narrowing division between lawyers and their clients. Mm. I don't need to ask if our New York friends take this seriously. Obviously they wouldn't have passed it on otherwise. And the probability of its not being a hoax is strengthened by the mention of a specific place. An obscure and unimportant place like Flaxborough.
Unimportant? Oh, come now, Inspector.
In the New York context, I mean, of course. Huh. It's a circumstantial detail that stands out rather impressively from all the Mickey Spillanery.
Mickey...
Spillanery.
Ah, yeah. Oh, I don't think the genuineness of the warnings at issue, Mr. Pembright. Our job is to act upon it as a matter of urgency.
And swiftly, sir. Mm. I think we should both collect our thoughts and then confer later today. In the meantime, I will alert all my men to keep their eyes open for any new arrivals in the town. Our purpose must be to waylay this hitman before he can fulfill his contract. We must also be prepared to find that he has accomplices here in the town.
Oh, come, Inspector. Who in Flaxborough would have anything to do with a person of this sort?
Do come in.
Your name, Lucia Teatime?
I am Miss Teatime. Lucilla Edith Cavill Teatime, as a matter of fact. And you are?
Matt sent me from the States. I'm Joe Tudor.
Mac, of course. Uncle McNamara. Come in, Mr. Tudor. I've been expecting you.
In part one of The Naked Nuns by Colin Watson, you heard John Rowe, Paul Downing, Patricia Wilcock, Peter Rylands, Judith Davis, Anne Rye, Fine Time Fontaine, Daniel Cole, Harry Kirkham, Jeffrey Banks, and David Fleischman. It was dramatized by Christopher Dennis.